Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. And North Florida neighborhood is all about getting to know our super sweet neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in the community. And today we get to chat with a neighbor, Jessie Miller. She's the director and compassion creator for Epic Outreach. Jessie, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Colby, for inviting me and having me on the air. I appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. And okay, the name Epic Outreach is already pretty epic, but can you unload what it is to begin with?
Yeah, so we are a 501c3 organization, and EPIC is a sort of an acronym. So EPIC stands for Educating People, Inspiring Compassion, and we're all about outreach. So we do a lot of outreach for teaching kindness and compassion to create a kinder world for people, animals, and the planet.
And the things that you are teaching are very deep. Like, there's a lot of substance to them. So how do you even begin to teach compassion and inspire compassion in these people?
Yeah, so we do it through animals, and we actually have a farm sanctuary on the north side, and we invite people to come to the farm sanctuary and really building off of that human-animal bond through direct encounters with animals. And then we also have gone into the schools, so we have a few therapy animals, a dog and some guinea pigs, and we take them into the classroom and teach kids. Our primary focus is kids. Of course, having adults come out to this sanctuary is always good for that direct interaction, but going into the classroom, and we teach through their stories. So all the animals that we have at the farm sanctuary and that are therapy animals are all rescued, and they all have a story to tell, and they all teach through those stories of their rescue about, you know, what you need to do to care for an animal, how to be kind to an animal, how can you be a better pet parent to your dog or cat. And then, of course, we have farm animals that we talk about, too, when they come to the farm.
So how many animals do y'all have in total, like at the farm and then also that y'all bring to schools?
So we have two guinea pigs that come to the school, to the classroom, and then we have two therapy dogs that we can bring. And then at the farm, we have about 25-ish animals.
Oh, my gosh.
We just added a couple of new pigs and a new horse within the last couple of weeks. So, and then we have barn cats too. And then, of course, other horses and donkeys and some chickens and a rooster and a bunny.
Oh, and a bunny. Can't forget the bunny. Well, where, I get it's rescued animals and it's an animal sanctuary, but how do you guys even begin to find, like, oh, this horse needs a home or this pig needs a home?
They find us generally. You can imagine that there are a lot of animals that end up in situations that they need to be rehomed, including farm animals. And so we get reached out to a lot for those animals needing to be rehomed. Of course, we have to look for kind of a special criteria because we do have kids and people coming out, because our main mission and focus is education outreach. So we look for animals that really have an ability to be able to share their story and be an ambassador. So the majority of our horses are all what we call pasture pets, because we don't ride them. We're not a riding facility. And they all have some sort of a history where they can't be ridden, and some of them are really senior, and so they have injuries, or they just don't ride them anymore, and some of them have other things going on, and so they are here, and that's what we love about them. We love caring for them, and we love teaching about caring for them, and that's really what our mission is about: teaching kindness through care, and then telling their stories about rescue and how they ended up in situations that they needed help.
So, Jessie, what does it look like? It sounds like there's a lot happening at the sanctuary. So what does it look like if I were to come and want to learn how to be compassionate?
Yeah, so you would reach out to us. So we're not open to the general public, so you have to RSVP a visit. We do live on site, so we don't open it up. We can't just have people show up and come for a visit. But you can RSVP and come out for a tour. And so you go and meet all the animals, and we talk about their different situations of rescue and how they situations that they found themselves in, and then what it looks like to care for them. And some, the two pigs that we recently just took in are potbelly pigs, and they're very popular pets. And so, but they also do have certain behaviors that aren't very popular once they get older. And so they end up in situations where they need to be rehomed. And so teaching people about their needs, if they're interested in adopting, is really important because education is everything. And if you, once you know better, you can do better. And so you would come have a tour and meet all the animals and learn about their stories and then what it takes to care for them.
I love that you said once you know better, you can do better. And yeah, we can learn this at the sanctuary, but then beforehand you said y'all are also coming into schools. So what happens when y'all come to a school? That sounds so fun.
Yeah, so we would bring one of the therapy animals, either the dog or the guinea pigs. Obviously, we don't bring the horses or the sanctuary pigs. But we would come in and we actually have children's books. So we write stories about the animals that we rescue, and then those stories teach about kindness and teach about how to care. And so we will come in and either read the stories, or we actually have little games that we play, and then we have education that we teach. And so we do that through also through artwork. We do creativity. So we might make toys for the pets in shelters that are waiting for homes. So we'll talk about animal shelters and dogs and cats that are homeless, and then we make toys for them that then we would take into the shelters to give them. Or we talk about Oliver the pig, who was abandoned and was a stray and then ended up at the farm sanctuary, and we share his story because he has a book about his story.
And these are books y'all wrote?
Yes. So I've written two of the books, and then two of the books I co-authored, and then I've illustrated all of them. So I illustrate all the books that I helped to create, and two of them I self-published, and two of them I went through an independent small publisher. And so, yep, they're all children's books, and actually have had adults read them and learn from the stories. So they're actually pretty impactful.
Are they up for sale? I mean, you said you read them at the schools, but can we also buy them if we're just genuinely interested?
Yeah, so if they go to our website, epicoutreach.org, the books are on there and you can purchase them. It'll actually take you to a link out on Amazon, and they are for sale on Amazon, and all the proceeds benefit the farm sanctuary and supports the outreach work that we do through education.
Yeah, Jesse, I was going to ask, it sounds like a lot of the things you guys do, especially taking care of all these animals, and I'm also assuming the property is a lot of work also. How are y'all able to afford it all?
Yeah, so because we're a 501c3, we do a lot of fundraising. And so we get funding through private donations, through grants, through fundraising. We do a lot of fundraisers on Facebook. And then we apply for grants, and then people give us private donations. And when people come to visit the farm, people will usually leave a donation for the tour. There's not a specific fee for coming for a visit, but it is recommended to make a donation when you come for a visit. And we also do virtual tours. So because of COVID, we do virtual tours. So we have a lot of classrooms that will reach out and ask for a virtual tour if they're doing virtual teaching, and we'll take you on a virtual tour through a Zoom call, and you get to meet the animals up close and personal, and then those teachers a lot of times will make a donation too.
And how can a school get in contact with y'all if they're interested in doing that for their classroom?
Yeah, they can reach out directly to me. They can go on the website, epicoutreach.org, and all of our contact information is right there, or they could email me directly at Jessie, J-E-S-S-I-E, at epicanimals.org, and we could set that up for sure.
It's really cool, everything that y'all are doing, especially teaching these kids at such a young age the importance of fostering something and taking care of something. But for those of us who are maybe older and have had pets or aren't really in that position yet, what are just like some basic ways that we can be kinder to animals, whether they're our own or other people's? What are things that you feel like people are missing the mark on when it comes towards compassion with animals?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody has the ability to be kinder, even to each other, right? So we don't just teach about being kind to animals. We teach about being kind to each other and the planet as a whole. And so, you know, it's just, you know, being kind, saying kind things to each other, being kind to, you can be kind to your neighbor's pet by, you know, giving them, you know, touching them, or asking your neighbor if they need help with anything. Or, you know, if you have a pet and you want to be kind, you can groom them, pet them, love them, take them for a walk if you have a dog. These are just simple things that people can do. And then for, you know, nature and the planet, you know, if you see trash on the ground, pick it up. Or, you know, if you can recycle, it's so simple to recycle these days, keep things out of our oceans and out of our rivers, and not allowing wildlife to encounter and learning to live with wildlife. We are surrounded by wildlife out here at the Farm Sanctuary. And so when people come to visit, we talk about living with wildlife and how we can do that, because this is their home too. And so we have to learn to give them space and be kind to them by learning to live with them.
Well, Jesse, so many cool opportunities. If we want to learn more, if we want to have a virtual tour of the sanctuary or just come in person and see it, what's a good way and website we can stay connected and contact you?
Yeah, visit epicoutreach.org and follow us on Facebook. We post a lot about any upcoming events. We post a lot of videos. We go live every Friday and share about what the animals are up to on the farm. And so following us on Facebook or even Instagram, Epic Outreach is who we are listed under on Instagram and Facebook. And you can follow and see what we're doing and what's happening at the farm through pictures and videos.
Well, great. Jesse, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our community.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I extend a personal invite for you to come to visit the farm. The animals would love to meet you.
I would love that.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio. Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and then those involved in the community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Jared Rice. He's the executive director for The Players. Jared, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Colby. Appreciate you having me on.
Now, Jared, I know The Players as somebody who hosts TPC and just has a lot to do with golf, but for those of us who don't know who The Players are, can you kind of give us a rundown?
Oh, sure. And you said we only have, what, an hour or so this morning?
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I appreciate the question. And all kidding aside, while the tournament is a fantastic display of professional athletes doing the best at what they do in golf, and playing it on a golf course that is really like no other, and it's the ultimate neutral field, or nobody gets home court advantage, to use some other sports analogies. The course itself is just a tremendous challenge and doesn't favor any one style of play. And those are all really cool and differentiating things about the athletic achievement. What is interesting to me is working here at the PGA Tour for 15 years is that you know, the tournament was really, when it was founded 40 years ago, the core mission was to support our community. And what attracted Commissioner Beaman at the time to this location and to purposely build the stadium course and develop the Players Championship was just, A, there was a great land to do it, but B, really the motivation was how great the philanthropic and volunteer organization that existed here was. And I think over the last 40 years, the volunteers that have come out in support of the tournament and therefore our ability to give back to the community is a story that you just don't hear enough of, and it really is tremendous.
Right, because like you just said, we don't hear enough about that. When I think of The Players, I think of the PGA Tour, and I don't realize how much behind-the-scenes work y'all are doing for the community, but y'all do a lot.
Well, like I said, I mean, that's really central to who we are and how we were organized. Again, Commissioner Beaman, back in the late 70s, when he made this move and was leading the PGA Tour all the way to Commissioner Monahan today, you know, our expectation is to leave each of our tournament communities better than when we arrived. Mm-hmm. And that holds true for the Players Championship as the flagship event of our entire tour. So, as you say, coming out to the tournament, and we love that. You know, golf fans, being out here for the foodie types and the social aspects, and it's a high school reunion here every year on Friday, and those are awesome things, and that's what makes this area so great, is to come out for any reason to support the tournament, and it shows so well on television to the world when we do that. But it also means that with that support, we're able to give back in a really, really meaningful way to our community, in terms of, again, not only that exposure during the telecast, but in terms of time and resources that result from the tournament back into very worthy charities in Northeast Florida.
Jared, y'all use the PGA Tour and TPC locally here to kind of help fund you in donating to these nonprofits and other organizations in the community. But I know this past tour was different than all of the others. It was cut short. So how were y'all able to make up funds that way, if you even were?
In 2020, it was more challenging than ever. And really proud of the volunteers that were led by Andy Carroll, his entire what we call vice chairman. Those are the leadership groups of other volunteer leads that help organize nearly 2,500 volunteers to help deliver the mm-hmm. tournament, and our staff and our players and what they were able to do to even get through Thursday's round. You may have heard the tournament was able to donate, immediately make use of unused food that was planned for the tournament, to go to Feeding Northeast Florida, and Susan King was very, very appreciative of that, and it was nothing short of significant in terms of volume, and Billy Horschel, who's a big supporter of that tournament, and his family were on hand in the loading dock on Friday morning, making sure that both perishable and non-perishable items got to those in need and underserved in our community the Friday after the tournament. I just think that's such a great example of how this team just pivots and says, all right, well, I know we've got some uncertain circumstances happening. What can we do to make something positive out of it? And we do want to be held accountable to the community, because it is our responsibility, again, to support the community.
That's so cool, because on the news and just kind of following along with sports, we don't hear that positive aspect. We think, man, now I can't watch my favorite player play. And what a waste of money in my mind is, wow, they prepped for so long for this huge tournament, and now it's just canceled. But behind the scenes, y'all were able to help a super important and local organization, Feeding Northeast Florida.
Yeah, and I think just, again, kind of behind the scenes, as you just mentioned, to see, how local food partners and think about that day in March, were, able to, with the work of our volunteers and our ticket holders and our sponsors, we encourage people through our digital and social media efforts, like, hey, go order from these food partners because they're sitting on a bunch of product, and the community responded. And that's really motivating for us and our team. That helped get some of our restaurant partners and partners in the community out of a difficult position, and the community responded. That's awesome. That's motivating. And you look at, again, as we kind of figured out how we were going to move into 2021 and through 2020, again, just how much our volunteers stepped up, our corporate partners stepped up and understood what we were facing, so that we could, in fact, make some contributions as a result of the 2020 tournament. Now, it's not the same as what would have happened in a normal environment, but we were able to, work with all of our charity partners and, their understanding of what we were going through, and in many, many cases, continue to provide funding, to local charities in 2020, even in light of what we faced.
Y'all haven't just been giving back during 2020, but y'all have really been sowing seeds and giving out all these donations for a while now. But recently, I think you guys gave the donation in 2018, and recently you were able to kind of see it come to fruition with Nemours.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it was a great story, and I'll keep it brief. But back in 2000, I'll do my best.
Yeah, because we only have an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Never a strong suit for me. Back in 2018, we met Nora Sproles and her family. And she was unfortunately born with a very severe form of spina bifida. Mm. And we were just very struck by her attitude, her outlook, how much, you know, positive she was and or is, and really just filled the room with so much energy. And again, as a team, these things are very important to us and motivating, not only for, again, all the other reasons I mentioned so far, but we see these individual instances. It helps really personify, or at least put, you know, give some tangible evidence to the work that we're all doing through and with the tournament in order to provide some great benefit back to worthy charities. And so we met Nora, and Nemours came to us and said, "Listen, we do need some help in our mission to redesign and revamp our lobby at Nemours." And this is no slight to the previous environment. They weren't wrong when we showed up. We could use some
TLC.
And some of Nora's energy and brightness. And so it was so immediate. We said, we want to do this. We want to help. We understand when children in Northeast Florida come to this facility, we want them walking in the front door, you know, feeling good, feeling like they want to come in, and this is a place of hope and help for them. And we loved the opportunity to provide a grant, and we did so to the tune of $500,000 to help fund this complete remodel and start their journey to wellness with such a more positive and literally bright outlook.
Jared, have you seen the new lobby yet? Because after all, it's named the Players, so that would be really cool to look at a plaque that says that. But have you seen kind of what came about?
I have. I saw some renderings. We've seen some pictures. Saw it very early on, and really looking forward to the grand opening that's happening here on Friday, November 20th, and to be able to see Nora and her family and really kind of take the blindfold off and see it for the first time and its completion will be pretty special. But it looks fantastic.
It's so cool being so familiar with a company, but then already loving that company as is, but then learning what they do behind the scenes for the community. And that's encouraging on our end to help support you. So what can your community do for you so that you're able to help all these nonprofits and other organizations?
I think that's a great question. I appreciate you asking, in that when we think and ask the community, one, when you think of the tournament, we have said for many years that we are a public trust, and that is a real statement. And how we impact the tournament, or excuse me, how the tournament impacts the community, is by what people see on television around the world. We're in 220 countries, distributed billions of households. We're broadcast live in the UK and Ireland through our broadcast partners. Our distribution is incredible. So when we think about 2021 and beyond, that coming out to the tournament and being great fans and again positive, representatives of Jacksonville and Northeast Florida, means a lot. It's the greatest advertorial. Mm-hmm. By the way, the competition is fantastic, and it's a great time. So coming out is important. Watching and following on our digital and social channels, that engagement does have a meaningful impact. This is something we all own and have the ability to advocate and encourage the community to think about the tournament in that way. And finally, the third is think about volunteering and what it means to on site be an advocate or a steward of the tournament, literally, by helping to deliver a great time for those attendees from both inside our five-county area and from outside the five-county area. Those three areas go a long way to continue to build this to be a great thing for our community.
Jared, it's so cool to have the Players on our team locally. And if we want to learn more, or if we want to kind of go ahead and sign up and volunteer for 2021, how can we get in contact with you and your team?
Best place to go is theplayers.com. You will see a bunch of information about the tournament, some history, you know, some great reads, great articles, but also a contact us area where you can quickly get in touch with the right people based on your interests.
Thank you so much for being a part of our neighborhood and for letting us be a part of yours.
Well, thank you, Cole. We appreciate you having me on and for all that you do.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I.
SNC Square Roofing. Everything you should expect from a roofing contractor and more. Hey, it's John Vitas, the voiceover guy. SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, and I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were amazed at their quality of work and how well they kept the job site so clean. SNC Square Roofing, from the estimate to the last shingle, you can count on a job well done. SNC Square is a certified, CertainTeed shingle master applicator. Give my roofer a call today. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
Asthma symptoms can attack anywhere, like on a city street. Now you can get fast relief anywhere with new improved Primatene Mist, the only FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. So whether you need relief of symptoms at the park or at your kitchen table, Primatene Mist starts working quickly, opening up your airways to restore free breathing. For temporary relief of mild symptoms of intermittent asthma, use Primatene Mist and breathe easy again. Available at CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. Use as directed.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel. Language for life. Start the new year with a new language. Get up to 60% off now at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. Don't take on the IRS alone. If you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. The experts at Optima specialize in a powerful IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop the IRS from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima now for your free consultation.
Call 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Many things have changed over the last year, but one thing remains. Parents still need to parent their children. Would you like help in being more intentional with your kids? The Parent Life Conference is coming to Fruit Cove Baptist Church February 5th and 6th. Rob Reno will speak on God's grand vision for the home and visionary parenting.
Hello, Jacksonville. This is Rob Reno with Visionary Family Ministries. I am looking forward to being with you. We're going to talk about God's purpose for our families. We're going to talk about a game plan for how we can help our kids grow in faith and character, how we can have less chaotic, more peaceful homes. This is going to be a weekend that you don't want to miss. Come and join us at Fruit Cove.
This event is for any parent or grandparent. To see the full schedule or to register, go to fruitcove.com/parentlife. That's fruitcove.com/parentlife. Clarity for intentional parenting.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Dr. Josephson. He's the Chief Medical Officer for Nemours Children's Hospital. Dr. J, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Colby. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. What a great honor, and I really appreciate your time.
Well, I know we got to chat back in September talking about Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and you kind of gave us a forewarning of what was going to come, but y'all have recently remodeled one of your lobbies in the children's wing.
Yeah, so this is at Nemours Children's Specialty Care, which is our clinic that we see our patients for their routine visits. You know, believe it or not, and many people can't believe, we see over 100,000 patients a year, children in our clinic. And, you know, this building was built back in the early 1990s, and we haven't had a renovation since. So when you walked in, you still got that motif from 1991, I think it was, maybe a little bit before then. And it was really time to come into the 21st century and really have our patients have a lobby that they wanted. So we partnered with our community, and particularly the Players was generous enough and is a partner for Nemours, and they donated $500,000 gift to help us transform our $3.5 million new lobby. That you can walk in now, and it is absolutely phenomenal. It's been a true transformation.
Dr. J, I want to take a step back, and I want you to unravel who Nemours is, because it's such a big name, especially in the Jacksonville community.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a great question, and, you know, I think that's important a lot of times for people to really understand the foundation of who we are and understand what we do. And Nemours was started many, many years ago, actually back in the 1930s, when Alfred I. DuPont passed away, and he left a trust. He left, I think it was $30 or $60 million in a trust to care for children regardless of their ability to pay. Mm. He said that half the trust had to be spent in Delaware and the other half had to be spent in Florida, because that's Delaware is where the DuPont family lived, and Jacksonville, Florida, actually, is where the DuPont family vacationed. And matter of fact, Epping Forest, the mansion or the clubhouse at Epping mm-hmm. Forest was the DuPont mansion. The trust is now worth several billion dollars. And Nemours has two children's hospitals, one in Delaware and one in Orlando, and two specialty clinics, one in Pensacola and one here in Jacksonville. And then we touch many other states, either through satellite clinics or primary care or some of our outreach programs that we have, including Kids Health, which is people can go on to Kids Health and get education. We have a lot of pamphlets that help children at other children's hospitals. We have a large telemedicine platform now that serves the entire nation for kids with acute and chronic care that need to speak to a physician. So Nemours touches a lot of places, but this is part of home, where Nemours originated from. And we care for everybody, all children, and we want to make a happier, healthy next generation of children and keep children integrated into our community. But what's happened, which is very interesting, and I'm glad you mentioned or asked about this, is, you know, as healthcare has changed nationally, you know, Nemours used to take the proceeds from the trust to put into clinical care and other things, and they still do that. But with increased regulations and the cost of healthcare going up and the reimbursement from our governmental payers as well as our private payers for caring for kids has decreased, it has put a larger burden on Nemours to be able to continue to do the great work that we do at the expense that we do. Because, again, we want to take care of everybody, every child that's out there, if they need our care and need our specialists. And so we feel that now we really needed to share our mission and our vision and partner with our community so that our community can help us to take care of the children. And Jacksonville community's been phenomenal. The Players is one great example of partnering with us in this beautiful $500,000 gift that helped us transform our lobby. Again, it cost us about $3.5 million to transform our lobby. We got a lot of other wonderful donations from many other community partners as well. And it's really all about the kids, and it's all about giving them a place where they can come and knowing that they're going to be getting healthcare services and a multitude of them a place that they can relax, and we have a zone that for education, and we have a wonderful Hugs for Hunter Cafe that serves wonderful food, and we have an outdoor dining patio so that they can look over to the St. John's River and really, you know, relax while they're here during many times a very stressful event is having an office visit with the physician. Happy, hopefully, that, you know, we are able to care and make many kids better. But the lobby was needed to be changed to give that soothing area where people can either wait between appointments or have a bite to eat. We also have a public pharmacy in the lobby as well. Florida Blue created an art wall where 30 patients, actually, that we've cared for contributed in a very welcoming nature. And actually, the design of that art is the Jacksonville City skyline. So I've expanded a lot based on your question. But again, it's so exciting. It's really exciting, and it's really exciting that the community is as caring, and we know they were caring, to want to partner with them more so that we can continue to provide care to as many children as possible, not only in our eight counties here, but even beyond. There are people that come here because they can't get care anywhere else, and our doctors and healthcare providers and APPs are just phenomenal and know the latest and the greatest things, so that we're kind of we are a destination center for people that can't get care anywhere else.
Dr. Josephson, you can always elaborate. I love hearing the whole perspective, because as an outsider, I didn't even know to ask some of those questions. So thank you for elaborating. But then one thing, you said caring for kids has decreased just because of the monetary value. So you're having to seek out help within the community. So has that kind of forced y'all's hand to be more present with the community by needing that financial assistance?
I think that years ago, you know, Nemours had the ability to care. But yes, I mean, not that we didn't want the community to know who we were. We wanted them to know, because we wanted them to know they had a place to come and bring their infirm child, and that we were going to take care of them and make them better. But I think, again, as the challenges in healthcare continue to expand, then we need to work collaboratively with our community to make sure that we take care of our children. Again, that's our future generations of our society. You know, most of us, if not all of us, I believe it's all of us, really want to make sure that our kids are very, very successful, and that they're able to contribute to society to make this world a better place. And part of that starts with having good health. And we need to start with the children as young as possible and make sure that we help them with good habits, but also make sure that we provide them with the health care services that they need, whether it's preventive services or it's services for acute disease or chronic disease, to help them get better and make sure that they can, enjoy a happy, healthier life.
And I think it speaks volumes about the position Nemours is in, because so often these big organizations come in and they say, hey, I'm here, community, come help me, without really knowing their mission. So Dr. J, will you kind of reiterate what the mission/movement for Nemours Children's Hospital looks like?
Well, our vision is to, again, make sure that we take care of children regardless of their ability to pay. We want to make sure that every child is taken care of, and we want to give good health care from the get-go. To make sure that children can have a healthy, happier life and be productive for society. You know, we want to make the healthiest next generation. That's our vision at this point moving forward, is to really be impactful to make the healthiest next generation of children.
And it starts with the little things. Like you said, it's the lobby, the fact that y'all have 100,000 kids foot trafficking through that lobby and it hasn't been touched for the past 30 years. Hey, let's spread some love on this so our kids know that they're loved.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, Nemours does not, we don't do things in a silo. So when we were going to do our lobby renovation, we have a children and a parent advisory council that we meet with on a very regular basis. And they were very, very much involved in our lobby transformation. We asked them, what do you want? What do you need? What kind of things do you want to see in the lobby as we create this? And they worked with us and the architects and the design team and everybody else to make sure that not only this was for Nemours, but again, this is a lobby for the community's lobby. And that's why it's so wonderful that we got our that wonderful gift and we have that partnership with the players. Jared Rice was phenomenal. He's one of the leading people over at the players and has been very instrumental in working with us in a lot of venues. But again, we have our advisory board of children and of parents, and they helped us. And one of the things that's funny is I think a lot of people who know Nemours know of our train that was in our lobby. And I remember when we first started our our navigation towards recreating the lobby, one of the first things that the Children's Advisory Board said was, the train's not going away, right? There is going to be the train, because that's what I remember.
Aww.
And so not only did the train not go away, but we actually made it larger. It is really a wonderful fixture in the center of the lobby, and the kids love it, and there's little buttons that they can press, and they change the scenery every so many months. And they see little things that move and stuff besides the train going around the track. So really heartwarming for the kids. And during this holiday season, just watching the children circle around the train and play with the buttons and, you know, really enjoy it has been really touching.
It's so encouraging to hear that you guys sought advice on how to renovate the lobby from people who are actually going to step foot in the lobby, not just CEOs who have a high position. So I'm curious, other than the train, what were some things that people wanted you to add in or ideas that other people had?
Well, the outdoor patio that we created. So we didn't have an outdoor seating patio. Now we do. We actually built an outdoor decking with some tables and with a beautiful view of the St. John's River.
Yeah.
The Hugs for Hunter Cafe. We always had a little cafe or a little cafeteria in the lobby, but they helped us create what they wanted and how they wanted it to look. So it's more of kind of a, you know, grab and go kind of thing. And then there's a lot of wonderful, very innovative type seating across the lobby that people can enjoy eating a snack or a lunch in different parts of the lobby. So they helped us create that. They helped us with those ideas. Some of the furniture type selections or what kind of things that they wanted. There's an education zone. And so they shared with us what their interest was in an education zone. You know, obviously it's been a little bit challenging currently because of the unfortunate COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. And Nemours really, you know, believes in safety of not only our patients and their families, but also our associates here and our physicians. And so, you know, we do make sure that we have social distancing and masking, and we put all the things in place to make sure that our families and patients and associates and physicians and faculty all remain safe. And so although we're enjoying the lobby and we get a lot of wonderful comments from everybody, again, from our visiting people from as well as from our physicians and our other associates and our other healthcare providers, I think when we get past this, it's even going to be more utilized because, again, we're managing some of these other things that are going on right now.
Yeah, more utilized and definitely more enjoyable. And again, I have the privilege of chatting with Dr. Josephson, the Chief Medical Officer for Nemours Children's Hospital. And Dr. J, you mentioned him a bit earlier, Jared, the Executive Director for the Players, how they gave you the $500,000 donation towards this new lobby for the hospital. So I want to know, what was it like? I got to chat with Jared, and it was cool hearing the thought process behind giving y'all this gift. So I want to know, what was it like being on the receiving end of such a incredible gift?
Well, as you can imagine, very heartfelt, because when you look at what our vision and mission is for Nemours and taking care of children, and we see children with all types of diseases, unfortunately, some curable and some not. And so when we have someone like the Players who steps up and offers such a generous gift to help us, to help the community and the children, and have a vision like we do of what it's going to take to make sure that we have a healthier society as we move forward, and that starts a lot with children, it was heart touching. I mean, everybody in the leadership team and everybody on our faculty, all of our associates, you know, everybody that works here for Nemours is committed to our mission. That's why we're all here, and we love what we do, and we're very blessed because we have great teams. And so when, again, you have a community partner like the players that comes forward offering such a generous gift, there's no words that can share. It's just, like I said, it takes your breath away.
What does it look like? We see what the players did, but what does it look like for other members of the community or other organizations to partner with Nemours?
And others have, which has been wonderful. As I shared, Florida Blue, mm-hmm. Florida Blue has an art wall, and they donated some money, and we have other community partners. So, it's great that we're getting recognized, and people are understanding that there's great opportunity to partner with us again to not only care for our community or the children of our community and the families of our community, but also beyond that, we have so many community partners, and we want to continue to grow that. You know, I look at Nemours as this is the community's Nemours. I mean, Nemours is not Nemours. I mean, it is Nemours, but do you see what I'm saying? I mean, the lobby is for the community. That's why we got their input. That's their lobby. They come in, and we want them to enjoy that lobby and utilize the lobby to the best of their abilities and what they want out of the lobby during their visit to a healthcare provider. It's just tremendous when our community leaders step up. And I got to tell you, we have plenty of really philanthropic individuals as well that has donated in multiple ways to Nemours over the years. We have the Nemours Society. We have so many people that, again, want to give to care for the children of our community and beyond, and we're very thankful for that. We're very, very thankful for that.
It's so cool how you said the lobby is for the community, and that's why y'all asked the community to begin with. So now that the lobby is all done, everything looks amazing, what can the community do for you moving forward, especially as we enter this new year?
Sure. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we have something that, first of all, I want to tell you that, you know, Nemours is kind of running with a new thought, which is that caring is contagious. That's our new theme right now. And we are seeing that as the players has donated money to care for children. We are seeing other people step up and saying, hey, we didn't know about what Nemours really did, and now we understand, and we want to be part of that great vision and mission. And that's, again, is really wonderful. And we're going to continue to lobby is one part, but there's many other parts of this building that we're going to continue to grow and develop. One of the recent things is that we're developing a new oncology a program or floor here that we're starting to design. And actually, I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but we recently received a wonderful $5 million donation from Daly's.
Wow.
To go towards our oncology program and our new oncology floor that we're working on getting developed and to care for the children with cancer.
No, I didn't know that. So is that the most recent renovation that y'all have your hands on?
So that's coming forward.
Okay.
You know, that's next. That's the next plan that we're looking at. So we're working through that. We're in the very early stages of that. And then recently, Nemours has a wonderful relationship with Daly's as well. And Daly's actually a few weeks ago gave a wonderful gift of $5 million towards the oncology program and the redesign and development of that oncology floor.
So a lot of growth happening with Nemours, and thank you so much for letting us be a part of it, just as your community and as your neighbors.
Oh, well, thank you. And again, we need to get the word out there because caring is contagious, and we know that people really want to give. We have a very caring community here in Jacksonville. I came to Jacksonville 20 years ago, and really has been a wonderful community for me and my family as well, and just family-friendly and just a terrific community. And so the partnerships continue. We also have a great partnership with our associated Children's Hospital, Wolfson Children's Hospital. We work collaboratively with them also in caring for the children. So I just wanted to give them a recognition as well.
No, thank you so much. And like I said before, these are just big buildings to us. But when we get to talk to someone like you, Dr. Josephson, we get to get more intimate and know, oh my gosh, there's so much heart behind just this building. So what does it look like for, after hearing this, how can we be contagious through caring in our community?
Well, this is, we want to get the word out there of, you know, really what Nemours is, what we stand for, and how we're here to help. And we want to, again, take care of the children, not only of this community, but beyond. And we want the community to continue to get behind us, like many already have and have been for years, to get behind us and say, hey, you know, let's continue to make sure that our children grow up happier and healthier. Nemours is there with us, and we know that and we're comforted to know that we have such a wonderful organization in the community to help us to make sure that our children are healthy. So I think that those are the things. Is, again, it's just a matter of communicating and making sure that people understand who we are. And so that word is out there. And that's why, again, I thank you for having me on today, too, because I'm able to share with that and with your viewers. So thank you for that. Listeners, I should say.
Yeah, of course, Dr. Josephson, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Yeah, this is terrific. And you know, again, there's so many projects that we're working on and so many new innovative things. You know, Nemours is quite innovative, and we're bringing the latest and the greatest stuff to the Jacksonville community, and we want to continue to do that as well.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week, and if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.